I don't believe this. Came in off the tree, and just look at this. Well, that is unbelievable. I haven't seen that in such a long time.
Welcome everybody to another episode of Bogey or Better Podcast. And I am Dylan, and usually I am joined by my co-host Cam, but he was not able to make it for this week's recording. But that's all right, because we have a special guest that I will introduce in a minute. But I just want to talk for a few minutes about, you know, what's going on in the golf world. Right now the PNC Championship is going on. And that's very exciting. We've got little Charlie and Tiger, and they're playing really well. They're, I think, 14, actually they might've finished for the day. I forget. I think they finished 15 under. Justin Thomas and his dad, shot like 28 and 29. And I think won the tournament, and they were, I mean, I think they made on the front nine, like seven, they made total of eight birdies, but they made seven in a row. So, I mean, it's hard to beat that. but yeah, and what's going on with us? Well, I know we talked about it last week, me and Cam. I bought a new putter. I was kind of in between what I was going to get. So I went to our local golf shop here that's owned by head coach Jimmy Cusa in Columbia, and they got me fitted for a putter, and it actually was a different one than I used to have. So I used to have a Scotty, and you all know that it was tragically stolen. So I thought I was going to get the same one, but after the fitting, I actually chose the Scotty Cameron 5.5 M Futura. And it's a lot like the one I used to have. I used to have just the Futura 5. But it has, you know, the Futura 5 just has like two wings at the back of a putter. It's a mallet putter. But this one has a little extra piece that goes across the back. And it really, you know, kind of bumps up that MOI, that moment of inertia. It really helps with forgiveness, and has a little bit of toe hang, which I didn't realize, but my putter stroke actually benefits from that. Apparently I do have a pretty arcing putter stroke. I always thought that I was more just straight back, straight forward, but the fitting, he said that a putter with a little bit of toe hang would be nice. That's what I really like about this putter is it's a mallet, but it also kind of has that toe hang like a bladed putter would be. But you don't, you know, you still get all the forgiveness and all the MOI of a mallet, which is really nice. So I actually took that out on the course yesterday. Didn't play my best. I shot 85, but what was nice was I was really figuring out my iron swing. I've been having issues with towing it and kind of catching it thin. And I realized I was swaying my body way too much and not keeping my upper body straight while I rotate. And once I figured that out, oh, I feel so much more confident over the ball, and I'm striking it so much better. And so I'm just kind of working out the kinks now with the ball shape and all that, kind of going back to my normal draw. I was hitting a cut for a little while, but I'm kind of going back to my draw, and I'm loving those new Maltby forged irons. I highly recommend, if y'all are looking for, you know, a new set and you want forged, but you don't want to spend $1,600 on a brand new set, you know, of Pings or Mizunos, go to Maltby, go to golfworks.com. We're not sponsored by them. And, you know, that's what's great about this podcast. That's what's, you know, one thing that's good about us not being sponsored is whenever we recommend something, we recommend it because we've either used it or, you know, we've tried it out and it, and we like it. So yeah, golfworks.com. They only sell Malt B irons, and you can actually get them custom made. I got mine custom made, and yeah, they're working great. So earlier I said we have a special guest, and we do have a very special guest. My beautiful wife, Carly. Carly, how are you doing?
I'm fabulous. Thanks for asking. How's everybody doing today? How are you?
I am good. We've been watching some golf, which is nice. And, you know, you are very new into the golf game.
Yeah, I think that's an understatement.
Hey, out of the two people recording here, only one has had a hole-in-one, and it's not me, unfortunately.
That is true. That is true.
So, you have been playing golf now for about 4 months?
I guess. What are we in now? December? I don't know. Maybe more than that. Maybe almost 6 months.
Okay. About 6 months. Yeah. And we started on the range. We started slow. And then we got you onto the course. And literally, your first time on the course, third hole, hole in one. How did that feel?
It was pretty magical. And honestly, I think today I had a big question for you because I was thinking about that. And that moment, it was awesome because as you probably remember, when you were first starting golf, it was really frustrating. And even now it's probably really frustrating for you at times because, well, golf is frustrating. So as a beginner, what would you suggest? Like, how can I make it more fun for myself? Because obviously I'm probably not going to be hitting holes in one every time. So what are little ways that I can try to make it easier on myself in the beginning so I don't get burnt out?
Don't worry about score. You know, you're not going to have a decent score for the first couple years of playing golf usually. That don't put too much money into it. Like your clubs I got from Play It Again Sports, I think we paid like probably $75 for a full set. And you know, golf balls, you know, me and Cam stress so much. Do not get hooked into buying expensive golf balls the first couple of years. The less money you put into it, honestly, in the beginning will help you enjoy it because you won't be thinking about the money you've wasted. I know, especially because of you.
I'm a little bit of a penny pincher, you guys. I know I have a problem.
Yeah, that's why it took me so long to get a Scotty Cameron putter, but we got there, fellas. We got there. But yeah, I think that, you know, don't worry about where your ball is really after a shot. Don't spend 10, 15 minutes looking for a ball. Just drop down, drop it, and let's move on. Let's hit another one. Because it's frustrating looking for a lost ball. And then also you're gonna start to feel eyes on you if people are on the tee. And that's when I get frustrated, when I'm waiting for beginners ahead of me to find their ball. I just, you know, I think just not taking it so seriously. And just, you know, just trying to hit it. Your main focus should not be in the first couple of years of shooting a good score. Your main focus is to make contact with the ball.
And honestly, I think that's the key, is I get so in my head about it that I have this massive fear of failing publicly. And especially if I know somebody is on the tee behind me, I start getting panicky and it just becomes like this pressure filled thing. And I know you always tell me, and I have to repeat it to myself, this is a game. Like, a game should be enjoyable. And listening to the announcers today, they were talking about Charlie and his disposition, and they were also impressed by the way he carried himself. I mean, he's 11, I think. And they were all just so surprised on how his manners were and how he was viewing the game. And I think they said, Tiger said that, you know, he wants Charlie to compete, but he wants Charlie to have fun. And so I have to have that mentality too when I'm on the course that, you know, I do want to improve. I do want to get better, but this is a game. So there's no reason for me to take it too seriously or take myself too seriously.
Yeah. When the guy who is probably the greatest golfer to ever live says the most important thing is to have fun, you know, I think that's a good piece of advice there.
I also think, that I really want to walk a course. Like, I've only done the golf cart. And let me tell you, the golf cart is one of my favorite parts because that is fun in itself. But I really want to try walking a course and playing it because I feel like, isn't that really how golf was meant to be played? Was, you know, back in the OG days, it's not like they had golf carts roaming around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've walked a few courses. When I was on a golf team for a little bit back when I was like 14, and our home course was called Rawls Creek. And the first tee, you have to go up this concrete, you know, driveway pathway that, I mean, it's like, it was like taking a hike. And we, you know, we don't have caddies. We're little kids. So we, you know, we had our bags on our back, and just getting to the first tee, we were exhausted. But that course was hard to walk. But there are plenty of courses, like, you know, Charwood, our main course now, that's super easy to walk. It's very flat. So yeah, I would love to walk. We need to get a couple of push carts so we don't have to carry our bags.
Do they have like attachments that you can, is that what the push cart is? Like, can you just attach it to any bag, or do you have to get a special bag for that?
No, you can attach any bag. You know, and there are different types of carts. Like, you have the lowest cart that's probably like $50 that, you know, all it is you strap it in and you push it. That's it. Then you can, you know, golf is a business where there's just so much money in the industry that they come up with crazy stuff. I mean, just yesterday when I was playing, we saw a couple walkers, and they both had remote control push carts. And, like, you know, they had cup holders on them and a cooler and, you know, probably a back massager. I don't know. But, you know, and those can, you know, get up to $1,000-$2,000. And they also have Segways. There's Segways with a cart attachment to it. I don't know why you wouldn't just drive a golf cart at that point, but I think that's just to buy just because you can.
Yeah, I feel like at that point it's kind of defeating the purpose. Just get the cart.
Yeah. but yeah, we can do that. We can definitely do that. No, I know Played Against Sports always has push carts that we can get for cheap. But yeah.
I also think that for me, and hopefully there are other newbies out there that know this struggle, I think one of the things that's helped me the most is playing 9 holes instead of 18. And it's great going with people that are way better golfers than you, because for the back 9, you can sit back, you can watch their swing. That's one of the things that's helped me the most, is not just watching professionals on TV, but watching your other buddies that are better than you at it, because there might be things about their swing that, okay, technically they're not doing it right, but you can see why they're doing the things that they're doing. Like I told you, watching your dad swing his golf club, I learned about how to use my driver more effectively. And overall, the way he keeps his hands with his driver is not technically great, but it helped me to learn a principle behind it the way that he was doing it. So I think that's a good tip too.
Yeah. My dad's a role model in a lot of ways, but I wouldn't view him as a role model with the golf game. He has a very particular swing that, hey, that works for him. He had some great shots yesterday, but I would not suggest anyone follow most of what he does. But yeah, I understand. Like, I mean, that's how I pretty much learned how to play, was watching people play and just kind of mimicking their swing. Like, I know you don't really like to mimic, but the way you like to learn things is a little different than me, but it still does help to watch different swings and just kind of take what you know and add that, you know, together.
And I remember watching James with his swing, another buddy of ours, and how he lines up at every single ball to get himself centered. And it's just little things like that. You notice how every single person, especially when they're not pros, I feel like they have more individual and more unique kind of setups. And so it's nice to be able to think about yourself and be like, can I incorporate a part of that into my swing? Obviously, you want to take the part that's more technically right, but it's fun to see everybody's got their own thing. Another thing that I think that we could do to make golf more fun. And we have done this because we've played in Charleston and that was super fun because it gets us out of our routine. But I want to do like a destination golf trip.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Destination golf trips are the best. I've went on probably three. Well, I mean, technically I would go on one every year to Myrtle Beach. I mean, it wasn't just for golf, but it was for vacation. But yeah, golf trips are fun. You do have to get in the mindset though of, you know, you're going there to golf and you're gonna golf probably between 18 and 36 holes a day that you're there. And so you need to kind of have a good plan of, you know, like for me, for instance, because of my back, if I play 18, I'm going to need an hour or two of rest to stretch and, you know, eat something and, you know, kind of get ready for the next round. I'm not one of these guys who can just, like Cam and Tony the other week played 18 and then turned right around and played another 9. Like, I wouldn't be able to do that. My back would be way too tight. But yeah, golf trips are the best, and we definitely need to do that. Me, you, Cam, and Sam should plan on doing something like that. That would be a lot of fun.
I know y'all have talked about Kiowa.
Yeah.
And doing something there. But honestly, you know, my ultimate bucket list would be a Disney golf course.
Yeah, Disney has some really beautiful golf courses. I don't really know the name of them. But I know there was an old show on the Golf Channel where it was a golf competition for like, you know, amateur or maybe, I don't know if they were PGA Tour professional, not tour, but they may have all been PGA professionals. But basically they do a bunch of skills contests and, you know, they get picked off one by one and the winner got like, you know, prize money and I think maybe a shot at making the tour or something like that. But they hosted it all at the Disney golf courses. And this is when I was probably 13, 14, just getting into golf. And yeah, I've always wanted to play Disney courses. And courses in Florida in general are beautiful.
Have you seen, like, I mean, obviously, I feel like I have a picture of how the golf courses in Disney could be. But I mean, are they actually like pretty, or I mean, how big are they? Do you know how many they have?
I think they have five or six, and every single one that I've seen is absolutely beautiful. And I mean, Disney's got the money to, to make sure their courses stay in shape. And, I really think they do. I mean, because they're also, you know, competing with other courses. There are other so many great courses in Orlando. I mean, that's where they're playing at the for the PNC Championship right now is the Ritz and the Ritz-Carlton, that golf course there. I forget what it's called. But, yeah, there's so many beautiful courses that, you know, they're not going to have theirs look worse. So, yeah, they're very pretty. I would love to go to one of those one day.
We need to do nobody probably knows where this is, but I have a lot of family that lives in Georgia, and there's a place up there called Big Canoe in the mountains, and they have a beautiful golf course that, I'm not going to lie, I feel like it looks a little daunting to me because it's straight up in the mountains, and I don't know, it just looks like it would be really difficult for me as a beginner to play, but it's so beautiful, and we need to plan better next year, like playing around when the leaves are changing, because I feel like that could be really nice to do.
Yeah, as many times as we've been to Big Canoe, I don't know why I've never played it. I guess the last couple of times I was either recovering from my back or I was going through back pain, so I just never felt like playing. But yeah, I would love to go play there maybe next year. Yeah, I've never played in the mountains before. I know me and Cam have a couple of buddies who they vacationed in Hawaii a few years ago. And they played a course in the mountains of Hawaii. And they said that basically there were no woods. It was just, if you lost your ball, it was because it went off a cliff. Like, it just, there was so little room for error. And I think that's what, you know, maybe not as drastic as Hawaii, but I think that's what, you know, mountain courses. Like, if you go to Myrtle Beach, or, you know, Kiowa or anything like that, obviously the main hazard is going to be water. anywhere on the coast like that. But in the mountains, you're just gonna get lost off just it falling off the face of the earth, basically.
I mean, obviously Hawaii, if we're gonna choose our ultimate, as much as I do love Disney, I feel like Hawaii automatically wins top pick for destination golfing. But in the grand scheme of things, Big Canoe is not that expensive. I think it's like, in golf world, I think it's probably priced around the same as like Timberlake.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's not bad at all. I mean, you have to live there, right? Or know somebody that lives there, right? It's public?
I think it might be. Yeah, because you're not going to, I don't think you can get in without knowing somebody that lives there. So I don't know is that like semi-private? What would you?
I guess it would be semi-private, because private, even if you live there, you would still have to have a membership to play. So, but if you just live in there and you can play it, yeah, I would say that would be semi-private. We don't have many private courses here in Columbia. We probably have maybe 10, but everywhere it's usually public. We played a private course for our 2v2 match. The first round, we played a Wildwood Country Club, and that was absolutely beautiful. It was private, but Tony actually knew somebody that got us in. But I was talking to one of the pros at Kuza, and they have this little passport book that can get you into some of the really exclusive clubs in South Carolina and Columbia, at least. You pay, I think it's like $75, and then, it just literally, it's like a passport. It gets you into for one round or two rounds at whatever courses they have available. And I know like Lexington Country Club, which is a very private course, is in there. So I need to tell Cam about that. I would like to get into that, because we've always wanted to play Lexington Country Club. But so Carly, what have you thought about golf so far in your 6 months of playing it?
I've had a lot of different thoughts about golf. Yeah.
how many times have you said this will be the last round I ever play?
I think too many to count at this point. But honestly, I say that and I do enjoy it. I've never encountered another sport that is so mentally engaging. And I think that's why I enjoy it so much, is because it is, but it isn't. Like, I feel like I play my best when I'm not overthinking it, but it's so, I don't know, it's just so unique. And I'm not doing a very good job of putting this into words, but hopefully anybody who plays golf understands it. And it's what you guys have talked about before, that as soon as you hit one good shot, you're hooked. Like, you want that feeling again, because it just feels so perfect, and you want to be able to do that every time. And obviously not any of us can do that every time. Like, not even the pros can hit it perfect. But it is beautiful too, to be able to be outside. And honestly, it has been such a good thing, especially during quarantine, to have something that's still keeping me physically active. It's beautiful. It gets you outside, gets you in nature, and gives you a way to, socially distant, socialize with your friends and your buddies. So overall, it's a good thing, but there have been days where I've thrown clubs.
Yeah. I've probably quit golf about 200 times, I would think, in my head. It happens. You haven't really played golf until you think, I'm done with this sport. But that's what's so beautiful about it, is no matter how bad of a day it is, it only takes one shot for you to forget about the bad. And, that's what I love about it. So you have a full set right now. What is the first thing in this set that you would like to change or add? 'Cause you only have like 11 clubs in there, I think, and you can have 14. So.
Well, I guess I can share my latest addition, my new golf balls. from Titleist. Yeah. So that's a big upgrade for me, feeling super awesome. You know, some of us buy Scotty Cameron putters. Other of us are just happy when our balls aren't, you know, the cheap generic brand from Walmart. So I feel like I'm moving up in the world.
Hey, there is nothing wrong with the bag of balls from Walmart. It is a great bang for your buck. And if you are a beginner golfer, even intermediate, and don't want to pay for golf balls, I highly suggest it.
Let me tell you, though, 0 out of 10 Carlys would recommend getting purple golf balls.
Yeah, that was crazy. We got those TaylorMade something golf balls, and they're like a matte purple. And I thought, yeah, this is going to be really easy to see. We lost almost all of them, right? They're all gone?
I still have a few of them.
Like, we probably lost half of them at least, and not because she hit something way out of bounds or anything. We literally just couldn't find it in the grass. They are so hard to find. So yeah, no purple golf balls, anyone out there. They're much harder to see than you would think. Red is good, and white, and maybe blue. I haven't tried blue, but I would think blue would be okay too.
I remember stealing one of your golf balls for the first time, and I think it was one of the white ones, and then it was just so nice. I was like, oh my gosh, I can actually see this. Like, what a novel concept that I can see the thing I'm trying to hit. So that is definitely a good tip, but it really does make a lot of a difference. And honestly, I think I'll probably just keep the clubs that I have for a while, because I don't feel like I'm to the point that getting a new club is going to make a difference for me.
I think you need just one 56 degree bladed wedge, because all your other wedge is a cavity back still. So I think that would be the only thing I would add.
I forgot about that. We did talk about that the last time we went, because I hit one in the bunker. And, you know, that's surprising. The last time we played, that's the first time I've hit one in a bunker.
That's very impressive.
Yeah. I think, I don't know. The other ones might have just gotten lost in the woods. But point being, I hit one in the bunker, and so I'm sitting there. What did I have to use? My pigeon?
Yeah, pigeon wedge.
I think it was a pigeon wedge. And I mean, I still managed to get it out of there, but I think you're right. Something for that specific instance would definitely help. But I'll tell you, the next thing that's honestly on my list is I want to get those tees that you have. The taller tees, because I have just the regular, I think they're plastic ones. And having a taller tee, especially for my driver, has changed my life. Not trying to be dramatic here, but it has improved things in that department tenfold.
Yeah, because I think that was my fault, because I went into Walmart to get you just a cheap bag of tees, but I got the wrong ones. I got I think they're the 1-inch tees, and they're not very tall at all. Like, even if you just barely put them in the ground, they're not high enough for a driver. But I gave you a bag of regular size tees of mine from Vice.
Are they in there?
Yeah.
Oh.
So.
Well, then there you go. Boom. Upgrade. There's the key, guys, is have your partner also play golf so that you can steal their stuff.
Yes, and to married men out there, get your wife into golf, because you will play more golf.
Get your girlfriend into golf.
Oh, yeah, or girlfriend, yeah.
Yeah, so that point, by the time y'all are married, like, you know, she's going to be hooked.
Yeah. Girlfriend, wife, whatever. Significant other. Just get them into it, and you will play golf more. I have definitely played golf more now that you have gotten into it. And it's very nice. And I have also bought more clubs. And, you know, you don't need to worry about that. But anyway. Well, Carly, I want to thank you very much for being my special guest. And I would like you to leave us with one tip with all the beginners out there, just like you, with less than a year experience in golf. What would be your advice?
I think number one thing is, don't take yourself too seriously, folks. This is a game. Have fun with it and enjoy it and get outside, breathe the fresh air, and just, you know, do your best. That's for life too, you know? So that's my tip.
Wow. That, That was very deep. And also, get a hole in one as soon as possible.
That does help.
Yeah. Well, guys, that's gonna do us for today. Thank you for joining us, and please remember to give us a follow on Instagram, subscribe to our podcast, comment, and like it as well. And we just created a YouTube channel, and we are gonna soon be pumping out some stuff on there. We just gotta get it going and try to figure out what direction we want to do. I know we're definitely going to do some course vlogs, and eventually me and Cam are going to do a 1v1 match, and we'll put that on there as well. And also, I can't believe I forgot to tell you all about this. Tony and Adam have challenged me and Cam now to a 2v2 Captain's Choice. So we're trying to figure out the parameters of that. Obviously, me and Cam do have the advantage, but I think we're going to give them maybe one or two strokes a hole, and we'll play match play, and that this will be coming in January, and hopefully we will get it filmed, and we can put that on YouTube. But it's very exciting. They are talking a lot of trash, and I think they're just going to have to find out who Daddy is, I guess. That's just what's going to have to happen. But and I hope they're listening to this. But, yeah, so we've got some exciting stuff coming up. So remember to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and also make sure to subscribe to the podcast. All right, guys, y'all have a good day. See y'all.